come to the house of God with expectation every time. I want to come to the house of God to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords every time. Every time that I enter in through the doors to give my everything to Him, to be open to what He has, to open myself in worship and adoration to Him, because He's what matters the most. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the presence of God. Good to see all of you here. And very quickly, I want to say I'm thankful for my pastor and his wife, Brother and Sister Crosswhite, have been a blessing to me. They've put up with me. Anybody thankful they put up with you? Some of you are like, oh, they never had to put up with me. I'm always a blessing. You're probably one of the worst issues. God's been good to us. He's provided us a good, good shepherd. And we have a wonderful church, good friends, good fellowship. I just feel thankful tonight. Amen. Thankful to all of our guests. Good to meet you, sir. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. And what do you say? Let's just take a moment and let's tune in and see what God can do tonight. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And verse 33. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And it reads like this: these things, this is Jesus speaking in this portion of Scripture. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world, you're going to have things that you're going to face. You're going to have tribulations. He said, but put a smile on your face, because I've already got victory over all of it. Amen. Anybody thankful for a victorious Savior?
Amen.
A victorious God, a God that reigns. Hallelujah. One more time, I wonder if you could put your Bibles down and just love Him and magnify Him today. I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, we magnify you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Could you lift your voice to Him tonight? God, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that sounds good. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. In the world that we are in, it can be a dark place. The world can be a dark place. Has anybody seen that to be true? The world can be a dark place. There are wars, and there are rumors of wars. There is pain. There's chaos. There's grief. There's brokenness. There's confusion on every side. Deception is rampant. The lies are increasingly updated. And our generation has become a generation of professional finger pointers. Pride is at an all-time high. Depression is at an all-time high, ever increasing to match the rate of the world's false hopes. Confusion about what love really is, from God or man. No tolerance for disrespect. No tolerance for concerns. No tolerance for others' needs. No tolerance for waiting. No tolerance for rules and authority. No tolerance for the Word of God. Tech savvy, emotion driven, but void of compassion and peace. That's the world we live in today. Anybody feeling encouraged yet? These things are true, but I just came for a few moments tonight to tell us that's not the whole picture. In fact, I would say they are but a small portion of a much greater, more beautiful picture. There is an address that the president makes from time to time, the State of the Union address, and the state of something. It is an overall view of how things are going, and if you're not careful, you can look at the world that we live in today, and you could determine that the state of things in our world is pretty bleak. It's pretty dark, pretty hopeless. But I don't want to look at things tonight from a worldly perspective. Tonight I want to talk to us about the state of things, but I want to talk to us about the state of things from God's point of view, from a Bible point of view. You see, the focus is not where the world is going wrong. The focus should be on the purpose and plan of God and where He's taking us. God's still good and He's still in control. Living for God is still the best life. The church is and always will be victorious. The state of things is good. It's really good. And I defy the voice of every devil that says otherwise. We could say it like this: we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That it might be made manifest. Not grumbling and complaining. Not, I don't know how and I don't know why. But that life might be made manifest. Jesus said, I came to give life and it more abundantly. It's easy to live life, but when Jesus gets a hold of you, that's when you can live abundant life. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, that's when you can really start living. You might think that you've been living up to that point, but when you repent of your sins and you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and God cleanses you and takes away the stain of those sins, and God fills you with His Spirit, that's when life really begins. That's when life really begins. You see, deception usually doesn't announce itself, which brings about the necessity of always being vigilant, looking for the adversary that's roaming about. Life tends to become entangled. Anybody found that to be true? Life can get confusing at times. Life can get dark at times, yes, but your perception matters. Look at your neighbor and say, it's your perception that matters. How are you perceiving life right now? Is it too hard to live for God right now? Has the chaos left you deflated and defeated and empty so that you have nothing left to give God? Is it too hard to pray? Is it too hard to worship? Is the choir too flat? Tonight, they were not flat. Y'all are doing good. Perception. Is the choir too flat? The AC too cold? The preaching too hot? The expectations too high? The lights hurt my eyes, and when everyone is praying, it's too loud. And when nobody is praying, it's too quiet. Church is too churchy. Work is too worky. And life is too lifey. Anybody felt that way before? You need a change in perception. You need a change in your outlook. You need a change in the way that you are perceiving things going on around you. Yes, we can see some dark things. Yes, if you allow yourself, you could focus. But God's word says, hey, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yeah, you're going to face things from time to time. Yes, you're going to go through things. But when you go through it, put a smile on your face, because there's still victory. There's victory for the church. There's victory for the church. We don't accept things as they are. We don't just get fed the lies, and we get fed things, and we have to abide by what the world is telling us. We have to abide by what the devil is telling us. We make the changes. We don't accept things how they are. We tell things according to the word of God. We allow the word of God to tell us the way things are. We allow our perception to be changed by the word of God. Because perception matters. Perception matters. There was a Shunammite lady that came to the prophet Elisha after she had been given a child by the hand of God. And God had blessed her in this time in her life. And there came a point where her son was in the field working with his father. And there came a time where he became faint. And the Bible says that he went over to the side and he laid down and died. And that Shunammite lady could have wrung her hands. She could have gotten mad at God. She could have started accusing God, but instead she got on the mule, the horse, whatever it was, and she rode to that prophet. And when the prophet's young man came to her, the servant that was there with him, he said, "Is everything good? Everything's okay. How's your son? Everything okay?" She said, "It is well. It is well." How many times do we have a trouble, a situation, a circumstance in life, and that voice comes to us and says, "Well, how is your perception?" And we start blaming God. What if she would have stopped and said, "Servant, let me tell you something. I wish that prophet would have never came to my house. I wish that I would have never," and started going down the checklist of all the things that were wrong. But she just looked at him straight in the eye and she said, "It's okay. It's going to be all right. It's well." And when she got to the prophet, the Bible says that, yes, she was distraught. She grabbed the prophet by the feet. But her intention, her perception was, "God can fix this." Can I tell you that God can fix it today? Whatever it is, whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, God is in control still. God can fix it tonight. David was standing in the midst of a burnt, trodden down village where everything that was precious to him and his men had been stolen away. His men were speaking amongst themselves, talking about stoning David. And the Bible says that at that point, in one of the lowest points of his existence, David began to encourage himself in the Lord. David began to talk to himself and say, "David, I know things look black right now. I know there's smoke rising right now, but I know that there's still a God on the throne of heaven. I know that there's somebody that's still looking out for me." And he began to encourage himself in the Lord. Paul, suffering with things in his body, sought the Lord for healing, but God told him, "My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul could have gotten upset with God. Paul could have started charging God. Paul could have got into a position where he was angry with God. God, I don't understand why I have to go through this. But instead, he said, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, I will glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the midst of turmoil, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can I tell you, your perception matters. And if you can adjust your perception tonight, the state of things is pretty good. It's a good life living for God. It's a good life living for God. It's good to be in the church. It's good to know the truth. It's good to have that remission of sins. It's good to have the Holy Ghost operating in us. It's good to have joy. It's good to have peace. It's good to have life, and it more abundantly. The truth that we have, the truth that is preached to us, the truth that we come and hear about is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We hear about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, about him being the shepherd of our souls. We hear about him being the true vine, the one that leads. We hear about the one that is the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. We hear about the lion and the lamb, about the bread of life and the living water. And we hear about all of the precious things that Jesus is to us. And we hear the talk about how the Holy Ghost can cause you to overcome, and the Holy Ghost can give you peace, and the Holy Ghost can give you joy, and the Holy Ghost is there to give life in it more abundantly. But sometimes you can say, well, it's not working like that for me. Sometimes you can feel that way. Well, God, where are your promises? Well, God, where's this and where's that? There's perception change needed. You can't live life on the edge and expect the fullness of God. You can't live in the fringes and on the outskirts and expect the benefits of being in the center of a relationship with God. You can't trick God. You're not going to trick God. You can't get God's approval on technicalities. You can't ride the line and say, well, I technically. You can trick everybody else around you. You can pull the wool over a lot of people's eyes, but you're not going to do it to God. You're not going to mock God, and you're not going to deceive God. God sees through that. You can't play with God like that. You can't get the blessings of God in that manner. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that will he reap. But when you start living right, when you get your perception changed and you start getting back into the Word of God, when you get back into that place of prayer and you say, okay, God, I've been letting some things slip over here and I've been letting some things slip over there, then that's when things begin to pick up in your spirit. When it gets real in your spirit and you won't give it up for anything. When it's so real that the influence of your friends can't talk you out of it. And if they keep trying to talk you out of it, then you change friends. When things get so real in your spirit that you say, I will not let this go. I don't care who says what. I don't care if it's friends. I don't care if it's family. I will not back up on my convictions. I will not back up on my relationship with God. This means more to me than all of this world. Then God will start showing up. Now he's not just the bread of life, he's your bread of life. Now he's not just the living water, he's your living water. Now he's not just a hope and a peace, he's your hope and your peace. It gets personal.
Amen.
Then you can say, I felt it. I experienced it for myself. And you're not going to take it away from me. I know my Redeemer lives. He's mine and I am his. He calls me his own. Those kind of things start generating. Those kind of things start working in you. And it matters to you. It matters to you. Anybody thankful for that kind of relationship with God? Anybody thankful for that kind of love of God? Hallelujah. I wonder if we could lift our hands just right here and thank him for his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, thank him for his love. Thank you for the reality of a relationship with him. Something so real, it's so true. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Come on, he didn't get stuck with us. He chose us. Woo, Jesus didn't get stuck with us. He chose us. I wonder if Peter, when he denied the Lord and he got over in that corner and he began to weep. Yeah, he made a mistake. He did. He denied the Lord. The Lord knew it was going to happen. And I wonder what kind of feelings Peter was dealing with in that moment. I wonder what kind of things Peter was struggling with in his mind, feeling so inadequate, feeling like such a failure, feeling like I'll just never. I spent 3 years with this man. And then when it mattered the most, I turned my back on him. Can you imagine the despair? Not understanding fully what was taking place. Not understanding fully the glory that was about to come. The resurrection that was about to take place. And in that corner, Peter was wringing his hands and tears just flowing down his face. Thinking of all the idiotic things I could have done. Why? And there's times in life that you'll make mistakes. There's times in life that you will fail. There's going to be things that you're going to mess up. But can I tell you that it is not a time to let condemnation steal everything that you have. It is not a time to let the devil get in your ear and tell you how worthless you are. You're not worthless. God didn't have to. He chose you. God didn't have to save you. He didn't get on that cross because there was no other option. He just like, man, I can't and I don't want to. And you know, it's not worth it. But no, he held himself on that cross. He told several, you will not take my life from me. But I give it willingly. I give it. I give it. And so it doesn't matter what kind of dark place you get into. It doesn't matter what you've been struggling with. Can I tell you that tonight Jesus is saying, it's time to get up. Amen. It's time to get up. Hey, go tell the disciples and Peter, because I know what he's thinking. And I know he's going to wonder if he should even be called a disciple. And so when you call the disciples, you make sure Peter knows he's one of them. And you make sure he knows he's welcome. Come on, can I tell you, you're welcome in the house of God. You're welcome in the presence of God. You're welcome back into the fold. If you get sidetracked and you get confused and you get into a dark place, you just get right back up to this altar and you let Jesus touch you again. You get right back into a place of prayer and you let the Holy Ghost start working on you again. Come on, that's what all of this is about. The state of things is really good. It's not dark and bleak. There's hope for you today. There's peace in the house. house of God. There's direction in the house of God. The Holy Ghost is for us today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a throne that we can come to. There is a place that we can come to. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Anybody ever found yourself in a time of need before? Yes. Maybe you didn't pray as much as you wanted. Try again. Well, maybe you didn't read as much scripture as you had committed to. You didn't, but get up and try again. So you didn't reach the way that you said you would, and you had that opportunity to reach that soul. You had that opportunity to talk to him, and you avoided out of it. You said the wrong thing. You didn't say anything at all. Okay, get up and try again. Talk to somebody else. Reach to somebody else. You didn't keep your word. Try again. You didn't step up. Try again. You didn't try hard enough. Try again. The thing about it is the blood still works. God still forgives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The state of things is good. The state of things in the church is good. God is still answering prayer. Anybody thankful he answers prayers? You know, sometimes we get to a place where prayer, I mean, it's powerful. I mean, as soon as you close your eyes, poof, I mean, the Holy Ghost is there. Angels are singing, and you're praying. I mean, you're in it. And then there's times where you pray, and you listen for the angels, and all you hear is crickets. That wasn't quite what I heard before. And you try to get into that place again. And anybody been there before? Well, I'll just preach to myself for a little bit. How's that? And you turn on a song and you try to pray with the music, but the music is too much. And you try to walk and pray. Walking and praying, it doesn't quite fit, and so you try to kneel down and pray. And kneeling down and praying just isn't quite getting it, so you sit down and pray. And then you fall asleep. I guess I'm the only person that's ever fallen asleep praying. Woo, it's getting real. Yeah. But can I tell you, don't stop praying. Don't give up on praying. You come back the next day and you pray again. And you come back the next day and you pray again. And pretty soon you're going to walk into a place in the Holy Ghost and you're going to feel those goosebumps again. And you're going to feel the Spirit of God coming in again. Come on, the state of things is really, really good. God is still faithful. God's still answering prayers. God's still on the throne. God's still on the throne. In fact, 740 B.C., give or take. I wasn't there, so I'm not sure exactly what year it was. Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. 34 to 36, somewhere in there, A.D., Stephen saw the Lord standing in power at the throne. 95 A.D., John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he saw the Lord still on the throne. Okay, and so the interesting thing is that each vision came at a time of earthly instability. Yeah. Earthly instability. King Uzziah dies. Isaiah sees God reigning on the throne, victory filling the house of God. Yeah. Stephen is being killed. Jesus is standing at the throne, the sovereign witness, standing because of an honor of the sacrifice that Stephen is making for him. Church is being persecuted. John has been exiled to an island, and he sees Jesus on the throne, revealed in full glory. It's the same message every time. Heaven is not shaken. Doesn't matter what you face, heaven is not shaken. God is still on the throne. The kingdom is still solid. And to my knowledge, he hasn't changed positions in 2026. He said, I change not. And he's still in control. He's still on the throne. We're still his children. Just because you face things doesn't mean he does not know where you are. He knows exactly where you are tonight. It doesn't matter what you tell yourself. It doesn't matter what voices are whispering in your head. If you could just get back to the word of God and let God talk to you again, he's still on the throne. He's still able. He's still omniscient. He's still omnipotent. He's still omnipresent. He's still God and God alone. Can we magnify him? Can we worship him? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 If God be for us, who can be against us? Just because you feel it doesn't mean you have to accept it. You feel things and, oh man, the emotions take control and things start beating you over the head. Doesn't mean you have to accept it. Doesn't mean you have to believe that. You get back to this Bible. You get back to these scriptures. You start reminding yourself, encouraging yourself in the Lord. No, God told me. If you have to make a note on your phone and you have to write down scriptures and you have to write down things that will be an anchor point in your life and you get back to those notes in a dark time and you say, no, God told me. God promised me. God showed me in his word and I will not back down from it. Just because God gave you a promise doesn't mean you're always going to feel that promise. Just because God told you something doesn't mean you're always going to feel that. Emotions, high and low. Emotions are fickle. Emotions are up and down. You'll go through things and that promise from God will feel so distant. It's almost like he never told you, but there's still something. And you might question and you might go through things and say, God, where are you? You get back to those scriptures. You get back to those promises. You read them over and over and over and over again until they matter, until they're alive again, until there's something working in your spirit that says, okay, God, I trust you. Okay, God, I know you're there and things are going to be all right. Things are going to be okay. Amen. Amen. Things are going to be all right. Merle Ewing wrote a song. I wrote it down here somewhere. He said, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I'm telling you, you're going to make it. You've got what it takes to win. And I know that you're gonna make it. I'm telling you, you're gonna make it. Just as long as you and Jesus stay friends. Can I tell somebody that today? You're gonna make it. Oh, you're gonna make it. 'Cause you've got what it takes to win. And I know that you're gonna make it. I'm telling you, you're gonna make it. Just as long as you and Jesus stay friends. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. Look at somebody tonight and tell them you're gonna make it. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. When the world sings its songs of illusions, when the life that we live sings its song of sorrows, I'll choose to sing about Jesus. I'll choose to sing about His Word. I'll choose to sing about victory in Him. There's still victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm drawing to a close. Heaven is something that is talked about. Heaven is something that that we read about. We look at Revelation and we see the things that are talked about concerning heaven. And John begins to give us a description of what the vision that he was given was like, as best as he could put it into words. He began to pin that. And John said that he saw new heavens and a new earth. Have you ever imagined what that's going to be like? Have you ever imagined what it would be like to have new heavens and a new earth? I believe it was Peter that began to talk about the elements passing away with a fervent heat, that all of creation just being rolled up like a scroll. It's gone. And John said there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. And then John saw that there is a holy city coming down from God out of heaven and being placed on that new earth in that new creation. You see, we didn't see the first creation take place, but we'll be able to see the second creation. We'll be able to see God do it all over again. We'll be able to see void and nothingness. And then the Spirit of God move. And there's going to be things that begin to take place. Things that are formed, and the Word of God is going to go forth again. And that holy city from God will come down and be placed. And then John gives measurements here. John talks about the furlongs. I don't know what a furlong is. I've never measured anything in a furlong. But when you look it up, ready estimations from biblical scholars say that one furlong equals about 660 feet. And John said that the length and the width and the height of this new Jerusalem, this holy city from God, was 12,000 furlongs in length, in width, and in height. So how does that translate to feet? That's a whole lot of feet. And so if you add up the feet, it's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. One city. To kind of put that in perspective for you, 1,500 miles would stretch from Texas all the way up to Canada, from East Texas all the way to Los Angeles, California. Half of the United States, one city. One city. And then you look at the 1,500 miles up. That's a long way up. Anybody ever been 1,500 miles up? Probably not, because the International Space Station is only 250 miles up. It kind of puts things in perspective. That kind of city. If the city is that big, how big will the earth be? The new heavens, the new earth. What kind of experiences will there be? The Bible says that the gates of that city will never be closed, but that they will always be open. That is symbolic of peace. There'll always be peace. No need to close the gates. No need to shut the gates. But there is an open access in and out, an exploration, not being gated in. You see, heaven is not some extra shiny nursing home in the sky. Heaven is something so much more than we can ever imagine. Amen. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. All of these things are grand. All of these things are beautiful. All of these things are precious. But the most precious thing will be to see the face of Jesus Christ. To be able to see our Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that there will be no night there. There will be no need for a sun, for Jesus Christ will be the light. And it's not just him shining so brightly that light reaches out and you get way at the end of that heavenly city and the light's kind of fading a little bit and there's shadows and you kind of have to get a flashlight to look around because you're pretty far away from the light. It's not like that. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that lights everything. There will be no shadow. There will be no darkness. There will be no night. There will be no hopelessness. There will be no spiritual darkness. There will be no natural darkness. For Jesus is the light. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is the peace. Amen. Can we stand tonight? And so I want to encourage you tonight. I know that things in this world, different countries, wars, different things going on, and it's easy to get uneasy. It is. But can I tell you that in the church, we have something that the rest of this world does not have. And we need to realize it. Come on. We don't need to shove it aside. We don't need to push it aside as something second class, third class, something, well, you know, we have to go to church. And no. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. This is the best thing that's ever happened to my family. Oh, when I came out of the world, there were people that were saying, man, I wish you wouldn't live life like this. All this going to church and stuff. All this speaking in tongues. And so my question was, well, I mean, would you have rather I've been a drunk? Would you have rather I've just stayed hooked on drugs? You know, because that's really beneficial to everybody. There's something about their perception that's wrong. But when you realize where God brought you from and you realize where God is taking you to, there's no question about it. There is no going back. Jesus told the disciples, he said, are you going to go follow the rest of the people that walked away from me? And Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. You've got the hope. You've got the joy. You've got the peace. Where are we going to go? Can I ask you tonight, where are you going to go? If you walk out of this church and you walk out of the presence of God, where are you going to go? Where are you going to find hope like this? Where are you going to find peace like this? Where are you going to be able to get your life put together like the Holy Ghost can put it together? Come on, can I tell you that in this place tonight, there's a hope that you can't find in a bottle. There's a hope that you can't find in a street prescription. God can fill you to the utmost. I wonder if we can lift our hands tonight. Can we lift our voice to him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, can we magnify him? Can we thank him? Oh, thank you for the church, Jesus. Oh, thank you for the church, Jesus. Thank you for the kingdom of God. Thank you for your spirit, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you for the spirit of prayer. Thank you for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the washing away of sins and iniquities. Woo! you, God, for a place that we can go to. Thank you for a place that we can run to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would tonight, I wonder if you could just come and magnify him. Worship him.
When I think about what the Lord has done, when I think about where he's brought me from, when I think about all he's given me, when I think about the many, many victories, I can't help myself. I gotta praise him. When I think about what the Lord has done, when I think about where he's brought me from, when I think about all he's given me, when I think about the many, many victories, can't help myself. I gotta praise him. When I think about what the Lord has done, when I think about where he's brought me from, think about all he's given me, when I think about the many, many victories, can't help myself. I gotta praise him. When I think about what the Lord has done, when I think about where he's brought me from, when I think about all
be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Can't help myself. I gotta praise him.
Don't Think about the many, many victories. Can't help myself. One more time. I've got to praise Him.
When I think
about what the Lord has done. When I think about where He brought me from. When I think about all He's given me. When I think about His many, many victories. Help myself. I've got to praise Him. Oh, let's just do that right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're wonderful. You're worthy, God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy you are. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian, for the word. Amen. 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 As we dismiss this service, amen, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. Keep your hand upon us, God, a protection about us as we travel home. We thank you for this day, amen, this service, God, your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to heaven, how? Please remember, if you dress like your Bible, Sister Lauren is asking you to meet over here to my right to get a photo really quick. So dress like your Bible. If you did that, please meet over here with Sister Lauren to take a quick picture.